The fight against systemic racism in the United States is not new. Some of its roots can be traced back to Western Massachusetts, to people like Elizabeth Freeman, Sojourner Truth, and W.E.B. Du Bois. A lesser-known early civil rights advocate is Pittsfield minister Samuel Harrison, who pushed for equal pay for black soldiers during the Civil War. As New England Public Media's Nancy Conan reports, his descendants say his life inspires them today.
Would you want to know more about my grandfather at this time?
That's Florence Jacobs Edmonds, a now-deceased Pittsfield nurse and the granddaughter of Samuel Harrison, who was born enslaved in 1818.
And it was soon after that the whole family was set free.
This was recorded in 1980, when Edmonds was about 90 years old. Her daughter, Ruth Hill, Samuel Harrison's great-granddaughter and an oral historian, did the interview.
His parents were slaves, so...
His parents were slaves, and he was a slave when he was born.
Sometime after his birth, according to his memoir, the slave owner emancipated him and his mother, offering her the chance to emigrate to Africa or stay and work for his family. She took the job, but Harrison's childhood wasn't easy. At age 9, he left school to learn to be a shoemaker. Eventually, as a young man, he found God and decided to become a minister. But getting the education was difficult because of racial barriers and the cost of schooling. In 1850, when Harrison was 32, he became pastor of the Second Congregational Church in Pittsfield.
He was really the first minister of the church that we belonged to was formed by 7 black people. That was a break off from the white church.
A break off, explains Marlena Willis, a member of the Second Congregational Church today, because white churchgoers refused to use the same communion cup as black members.
A white person would not drink behind a black person. That caused bad feelings, and they wouldn't rectify it, so these people decided, well, you know, we need to start our own church where we can feel safe.
Willis is standing outside Harrison's house in Pittsfield. It was built around 1858 and is now on the National Register of Historic Places and is also a museum. Inside, Harrison's great-great-grandson, Blaine Whitfield, takes a seat among displays depicting the minister's life. Whitfield says Harrison's message from the 19th century is still relevant.
It speaks to me today because I think we're still trying to make the same argument as African Americans.
Harrison made that argument as a minister and an early civil rights pioneer. Whitfield reads from something Harrison wrote in 1877, entitled, An Appeal of a Colored Man to His Fellow Citizens of a Fairer Hue.
We are no different from other men and women. We have hopes and aspirations and inclinations the same as others. This being so, all we ask is to be treated as other men and women are.
When the Civil War broke out and Massachusetts formed a regiment for black soldiers, the 54th, Harrison persuaded a number of young men to enlist. Whitfield imagines his great-great-grandfather talking to a recruit.
Son, this is a very special time. We have an opportunity here before us to secure our own freedom.
Harrison believed fighting in this war was a way to right some of the wrongs against black Americans. Historian Anne Elizabeth Barnes reads from a recruiting poster which offered the same pay as white soldiers.
To colored men, 54th Regiment, Massachusetts Volunteers of African Descent, $100 bounty at the expiration of the term of service, pay $13 a month.
The promise of that pay would become a broken promise, as Harrison would learn firsthand. After one of the most bloody battles of the Black Regiment, the Battle for Fort Wagner, Massachusetts Governor John Andrew arrived at the Pittsfield train depot. On the governor's request, Reverend Harrison was there to meet him.
It was a hot July day in 1863, and he arrived at the train station around 9 a.m., and the train pulled in, and the governor of Massachusetts got off the train.
The governor proposed a mission to the minister.
Whether you would be willing to go down to South Carolina and give comfort to the soldiers who had just fought in the battle at Fort Wagner.
Harrison accepted, but it was a hard trip south on a government steamboat where he was at first denied food and a place to sleep. Once in South Carolina, he preached Sundays and visited wounded soldiers in the hospital. Soon, he became their chaplain, an officer in the Black Regiment. But the title didn't protect him from discrimination. The Army refused to pay all Black soldiers, regardless of rank, the same amount as white troops. The Black troops protested, says Barnes.
These were men from all over, from Ohio, from Pennsylvania, from Connecticut, soldiers that did not know each other, and yet they were unified in not taking the lower wage. They held out for 1.5 years of no pay.
A huge sacrifice, especially for their families back home. Some men wrote to newspapers demanding equal pay. Do we not fill the same ranks, they asked? Do we not take up the same length of ground in the graveyard that others do? Harrison also wrote. In a letter to Governor Andrew, he described what happened when he requested his pay. Andrew then wrote this to President Abraham Lincoln.
I beg leave to submit to your consideration by this communication and accompanying papers the case of Reverend Samuel Harrison.
Lincoln consulted with his attorney general, who advised that Harrison should be paid what he had been promised. Lincoln turned the larger question of equal pay for all Black troops to Congress, which eventually approved equal pay. Back in Pittsfield, sitting in his great-great-grandfather's house, Blaine Whitfield says last year he turned to the minister's writing for inspiration after George Floyd was murdered.
When I saw all the people in the streets asking for the same things, essentially just equal justice, to me it still speaks today.
Marlena Willis, who's the president of the Samuel Harrison Society, agrees. She says today, with police violence and the pushback against voting rights, Harrison's life is instructive.
I know that he would speak up. I know that he would fight with every ounce of, energy that he had in him. So we're trying to live by his example to inspire people to do what is right and to give people hope.
Willis says programs held at the Samuel Harrison House can help teach children to carry his message forward. For New England Public Media, I'm Nancy Cohen.